Hey everyone, I had something unusual happen this morning. I spend a lot of time working on messages, believe it or not. I put quite a few hours in for each one. And the way it usually works is we know a series in advance, and we know our topics, we know the general topic, and then we know the weekly topics. And then I operate with kind of like a slow cooker method. I will think about it, I'll be taking notes, I'll be doing research along the way. And then the week of the message, I pull it all together. And I was prepared this week. I'd done a lot of work. And then this morning, just had a sense that God was wanting me to go a different direction and to change some things. And again, kind of fitting with this idea of the new abnormal, I wasn't thinking about it till now, is that there are times when we operate on a normal, what we consider a normal schedule, and then God has other plans. And he wants us to shift and to begin going the direction he wants us to. And so that's what I did this morning. As I was thinking about this message, I had already thought of this, but there was a book I read as a fairly new Christian called The Hiding Place. This is a picture of the cover, and there's been a movie made since then. It's a story of Corrie Ten Boom and her family. The bulk of the book takes place during World War II in Holland. The Nazis have invaded, and they are systematically eliminating all the Jewish people in Holland. You know, we are aware of the Holocaust. Well, it took place here too, and it was devastating. Corrie Ten Boom and her family were followers of Christ. And as they saw what the Nazis were doing, they realized they needed to do something. And even though it was going to risk their lives, they were willing to do it. So they began hiding their Jewish neighbors and working to get them underground to where they could avoid the Nazi persecution and eventually imprisonment and death. They got turned in. One of their people of Dutch background found out, and for whatever reason, they ended up telling the Nazis, and Corrie and her family were arrested. Corrie and her sister Betsy were sent to Ravensbrück, which was a terrible concentration camp. So what happens here is they've recognized a need, they've done what they believe is right and God-honoring, and they end up being thrown in prison for it. You know, life is just not fair. There are a lot of times where things go on that we don't expect, we don't believe we deserve, but it happens anyway. When we look at what we're going through as a nation right now, back in March, many buildings and businesses were closed. Most people thinking this is probably just going to be for a few weeks until we can get a handle on this pandemic. No idea that 7 months later, so many of the closings continue. There have been so many people out of work. School is now virtual. This sickness, this coronavirus, in our extended family, we've had 5 people come down positive with it. 200,000 people are dead now. And imagine how many families have been hurt and just devastated by the loss. Normal as we knew it doesn't exist. Normal is a funny thing. If you look up in the dictionary what normal is, it says normal is it's a standard or regular pattern, something that's usual, routine, and predictable. And for most of us, normal is what we're familiar with, what we're comfortable with. Many of us can't wait to get back to a normal. You'll hear people say this, I can't wait for it to get back to normal, meaning I can go to restaurants, my kids will be in school, I'll be able to work a little differently and not just everything be on conference calls on Zoom, be able to go to, just everything will be kind of back to where it was. I'm looking forward to some things resuming to normal. But within this, we've got to be really careful and wise. Because if we're not careful, what happens? If we base our expectations of normal on our circumstances, We set up ourselves for frustration and disappointment. Let me say that one more time. If we base our expectation of what normal is and what we should have, if we base that solely on circumstances, we set ourselves up for frustration and major disappointment. For instance, not long ago, normal flying, if you can remember this, was very different than flying today. Long before the coronavirus, especially after 9/11, you know, before you could fly and you could show up and no one took out and scanned your carry-on bags. There was no security check that you had to go through. There were no dogs, no sniffers, and no chemical agents to ferret out any potential dangerous things. It was, and there was no locked cockpit. It was very, very different. Normal circumstances change. This is, we all know this, but sometimes I think we forget it. You know, financial situations change for good or for not good. Employment changes, industries change, health changes, school, sports, political landscape, things constantly change. If we're not careful though, we are pursuing some kind of circumstances that are going to make us feel comfortable and happy again. And when you hear people talk about getting back to normal, many times it's really, it's just really looking for a place of comfort and stasis and something they can count on. For followers of Jesus, though, there are some things that we understand that are different about normal. And we actually are fortunate that God has given us through his word the capacity to have a very, very different perspective on normal. And let me just give you this as something that you want. Abnormal circumstances are actually very good for us. They're an opportunity for us to grow, or actually an opportunity for us to show and to grow our faith. Abnormal circumstances are not to be, it doesn't mean we need to go around looking for problems and pain and suffering. But abnormal circumstances put us in a position where we really can show our faith and show what we're made of, and then to grow in our faith so we become closer and closer to God. Keep this in mind. Our life here on planet Earth is temporary, and it's really a prelude to our eternal life with God. It's not that it's unimportant. It is very important. There are some things here that are absolutely critical for us to get, but this is a short-term assignment, whereas eternity will be, well, eternal. And we need to be really careful that we don't slide into a mindset of trying to build heaven on earth, trying to make this life so comfortable and convenient that we forget our real purposes. James 1 tells us this: Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Now, I want to say that one more time. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy, not whining, complaining, blaming, or self-pity, but joy. And here's why. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. And what it's really saying here is that you'll be mature, you'll be developed in your faith in a way that is strong and secure. The life that we have here on planet Earth was never meant to be problem-free or trouble-free. We live in a broken world. We're broken people. And it is great when things are going well. Enjoy it. But don't make that what you bank on, is this is the way it's always got to be. Jesus said this in John 16:33. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. And he told them problems and difficulties that were coming. He said, here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. His promise to you and me is that he will be with us all the way. And when troubles and difficulties and trials come, he will give us the capacity to overcome them. He will not allow them to be stronger than what you and I can handle. That is his promise. And if we don't see them get out of our way, then we will walk through them with courage and faith. Abnormal circumstances, difficulties, and trials are the things God uses in our life to show us and others who we are and to help us grow in our relationship with Him. I'll give you an example of this idea of going through trouble shows what we are made of and where we are, where we stand, what our character is like, what our values are like, the depth of our trust in God. I'm probably going to make a few people angry when I say this, but let's use masks as an example. I know some people that are very faithful to wear their masks. Some are do it out of just a real sense of fear. Others are doing it out of a sense of just respect for others. There is maybe the data sometimes has been a little bit convoluted, but if there's any chance that my wearing a mask, you wearing a mask, could keep somebody from accidentally getting the coronavirus, it just makes sense to wear it. But you see some people that get, they're anti-maskers and they get very animated. Some of them get very upset. We've even seen a video of people in stores where they lose their temper, start throwing things. Some have pulled guns because they just feel like that to wear a mask is weak. It's causing you to be some kind of a lemming, blindly following some protocols that don't make sense. It's some kind of conspiracy. Just a simple thing as wearing some fabric over your face can tell us a lot about where my values are. It shows me what I really care about. For me personally, I wear masks when I'm out with people and I ask them if they come to my office or if I go to their home, do you want me to wear a mask? Because I don't want to take a chance that I might be offensive to them, that I might be putting them in harm's way. It's just a matter of respect and kindness. So again, something simple like that, an imposition, we'll put it that way, shows what our values are, what we're made of. There's another way that the difficulties and trials and troubles and the abnormal kind of things help us grow. We've seen this over and over again with people that are on the front lines, nurses, medical staff. We see people in public safety, essential service people that have been willing to step into dangerous circumstances in places where they could easily be affected by the virus, where they're stepping in to do that out of a care and love and a devotion for others. We've seen courage on display and some that didn't realize they had it until they were faced with this choice and they stepped up to the plate. And so it's given them a chance to grow in their faith and their trust and their character. So we'll deal with more about this in the series, but if you follow with me on this, that abnormal circumstances really do get our attention in a way that normal and comfortable circumstances don't. Then in weightlifting and exercise, they're constantly talking about mixing up your program, because if you do the same thing over and over again, you get used to it and you're not really training your muscles and your body in a healthy way. So mix it up and do things that are off balance so that they can help you gain greater control. Listen to what it says in Romans 8, 28 and 29. Here's a promise that all of us should hang on to. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. For God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son. God wants you and I to be like Jesus. And when we look at Jesus' life, He didn't go around whining because He didn't have all the perks that went along with being God's Son. He didn't shirk away from difficulties that were part of His mission. God causes everything to work together for good to those of us that love and trust and follow Him. It doesn't say here that everything is good, by no means. But God can take what is not good and use it for good in our life if we are surrendered to Him. So I want to offer a little bit different perspective for us to consider. That's a different definition of normal. I think a better definition for normal is humbly trusting God today, which means that I'm willing to embrace the abnormal that comes along, because I have a normal that is not going to be determined by my circumstances. My normal becomes, and what kind of I've set my true north on is my relationship with Christ. And because of that, no matter what comes my way, I am not going to be, I don't need to be distracted, detoured. I don't need to be devastated. Jesus said this to a group of people that were, they were pretty excited about the things he was doing. He was feeding people. He was healing people. He was casting out demonic spirits. I mean, there was a lot of things he was doing that was making life better for them. And he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross daily, and follow me. He doesn't say take up your cross one time. He said take it up daily. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. In other words, if you're trying to hold on to some kind of a normal that you're comfortable with, you're going to lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but are yourself lost or destroyed? This take up our cross daily means that every day I am to begin and live my day with an understanding that I'm willing to sacrifice what I want for the sake of following Jesus. Not just for the sake of following Jesus, but for the privilege of doing it. Out of gratitude for all he's done, I now give him free reign over my life. So the new normal for me is just humbly trusting God today. Not my circumstances, but God. One thing we can learn from our friends that are in Celebrate Recovery and The Landing and AA, all of our recovery friends, I'm advertising for The Landing today, which is our middle and high school student recovery program, is they, many times they'll end meetings using the Serenity Prayer. It's been attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. Probably Reinhold Niebuhr wrote it, but it doesn't matter. It's a beautiful picture of what God wants, how he wants you and I to respond. It's this: God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, to courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Let me say it one more time. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living a life daily of humble surrender to God means that I am not living contingent on my circumstances, because they may change. I have friends, and you do right now, that have gone through serious health crisis, and they're not going to come back to a healthy normal that they used to know. Some have lost loved ones. Some are in financial straits, and they may have a much lower standard of living for many, many years. There's so many ways that life changes. Circumstances change. But God doesn't. And what he offers you and me, he offers us something that is real and good, and something that is completely not based on our circumstances. It's a wonderful thing he offers. But too many times what happens is we want to jump into something that feels good and safe and happy. And we end up believing that, God, if you're really for me, my life's going to just get easier and better and happier along the way. And that's just not what he promised. He promised that it would be good and it would be worth it. And at the end of our life, we can look back and say, God, thank you. You knew what was best for me. There are two people that have come to mind. I'm going to come back to Corey Ten Boom in just a minute. But one of them is Stephen. When you read about him in the book of Acts and the early history of the church, Stephen was a phenomenal guy. He was a really wise. He was a teacher. He was a leader in the early church. And some of the opponents of the Christian movement saw him as a threat. He would come to them and, reasoning from the Bible, would explain to them why Jesus was the Messiah, but these leaders didn't want to hear it. And there was a growing, a deeper and stronger resentment that had grown. They'd resented Jesus, and when they died, they thought they had taken care of that. But when these people start talking about him being resurrected, him still being alive, the opponents got more and more concerned. And as the crowds built, I mean, the church was growing at a fantastic rate. So many people coming to know Christ and having their lives dramatically changed. And these leaders, blinded to what God was doing, they just saw it as something they couldn't tolerate. It was outside their control, and they weren't going to have it. So they arrested Stephen. They tried to humiliate him publicly. They eventually decided to put him through a mock kind of trial similar to what Jesus did, and then they executed him in a public setting by stoning, literally knocking and squeezing the life out of him. When the people saw this, they realized that the persecution had ramped up. Some stayed, some moved for the sake of their family and children. And what happened is what was meant for evil, what was meant to stop the work of the church, ended up, as a result of Stephen's death, it ended up causing it to spread. There were many people that gave up their lives subsequent to that. And as people moved away from Jerusalem, they spread the gospel all throughout the world. And we're the beneficiaries of that today. Let me go back to the story of Corrie ten Boom and her sister Betsy. They were in Ravensbrück, which was a terrible concentration camp. The conditions were horrible. They were mistreated. They were malnourished. It was disgusting. To add to that, in the area where they slept in the straw, there were fleas. I don't know if you've been around fleas before. Some of you have pets have, but when Becky and I first got married, we moved to Texas, and we lived in a duplex, and it had carpeting in it, and whoever was there before had dogs. I woke up one day, we didn't have a bed yet, so we just had a mattress on the floor. I woke up one day, and I had these welts all over me, and I didn't know what it was. It could have been poison ivy. I mean, I wasn't sure. And then after a while, I saw these little black things bouncing around, and what it was is it was flea infestation. Oddly enough, they weren't attracted to Becky, but they were definitely attracted to me. We ended up having to fumigate the house. And this was just for a short period of time, but Corrie and her sister Betsy and the other prisoners lived in flea-infested quarters. And one day, Corrie heard her sister Betsy thanking God for the fleas. And Corrie just thought that was nonsense. How can you thank God for the fleas? But remember what we read before. It says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. What they discovered, and Corrie struggled with this. She just thought her sister's faith was a little out of touch with reality. But Betsy knew something, and she knew this, that God wouldn't allow anything to come into their lives, that he wouldn't give them the capacity to weather and for it to be used for something good. The flea infestation wasn't a good thing, but God used it for a good thing. And here's what it was. Corrie writes in the book, The Hiding Place, later, one thing, they had started Bible studies, and they were sharing their faith, their Christian faith, with many of their other prisoners. It was illegal. It was to have any pieces of the Bible there to talk about their faith was against protocol, and they could easily be punished for it. But what happened is because of the flea infestation, the guards stayed away from their living quarters because the guards didn't want to be around the fleas. And so they began to realize that God had given them these fleas so that it would protect them from being persecuted, and that there were many that came to faith in Christ. My guess is when all of history wraps up and we get to interview Corrie and Betsy and others, that they'll say, you know what, no, the fleas were no fun. It was miserable, but looking back on it, it was worth it because we have this person and this person and this person that accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior as a result. Our lives here on earth, we're not guaranteed comfort and happiness and all this kind of stuff. We are guaranteed that God will be with us. We're guaranteed that we can have peace in the midst of even horrible circumstances and abnormal situations. We've been promised that God will be with us. He will give us what we need. And as we do, we get to not just show in ourselves what we're made of. We get to show a watching world what it means to really know Jesus Christ. I hope in the rest of this series you'll join with me. And we're going to be looking at implications of this as we look at this new abnormal circumstance that we're in. And we see, God, what are you doing? What do you want to do in my life and through my life? What is it? What are your plans? And then we grab hold of them. I've asked my good friend George Ward if he would pray for us as we close this out. So let me turn it over to George. Here you go, sir.
Blessings, family. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for being the only constant North Star that all of us created in your image have the opportunity to look towards and focus on, even in times of uncertainty. As we are faced with new abnormals stemming from COVID-19, diversity, inclusion, politics, and other issues, we ask that you remind us of the fact that you are sovereign, still in control, Lord, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, and that there is nothing new under the sun with you. We are your children as followers of Christ. You said that in this world, Lord, that we would have trouble, but be of good cheer because you have overcome it. Thank you for promising to never leave or forsake us, Lord. With that said, Lord, help us to cling more to you and your word so that we may know how to respond as followers of Christ, so that our light may shine in these desperate times. Just as a tree is designed to grow upright, Lord, cutting it back or pruning it could be viewed as abnormal. But we see and find that it yields more fruit and healthier growth after this process. So this too can be within our lives as we navigate these new abnormals. Help us to see that abnormals can be stepping stones in our paths of growth in you, when we respond in accordance with your will and word. So we're asking you to do a new thing in our lives, Lord, as we travel this path so that our people, all people, may see your workings and become fully devoted followers of Christ. And Lord, strengthen our pastor, leadership, and the New Hope family as we remain kingdom-minded as new abnormals surface. Let New Hope be an example here on earth as to what heaven will truly look like. Finally, Lord, as we continue to focus on you, we ask that you fill us with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding so that our speech, our actions, and our reactions will be seasoned with love, the love of Christ, during this unprecedented new abnormal season. In Christ, amen. Be blessed.